Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to continue on in our study of the book of 1 Peter, the epistle written by the Apostle Peter. And last week, we read in the first part of chapter 2 that people have a choice to make on what they will build their lives upon. They can build their lives on many different things. The world offers many options, many paths and purposes that people choose in their lives. Some people choose to build and place all their plans and their purposes in their careers. Some people, it's just on obtaining wealth and money. Other, it's all about their spouse, getting the right spouse. Some people, it's religion. Multitudes of things that people build their lives upon. But the Apostle Peter points us to the Word of God. He points us to Jesus, the chief cornerstone. And we seen last week that that cornerstone in the ancient buildings is what set the direction and the proper alignment for the entire building. And it's the same way is that Jesus, when you place your faith and place your life and build your life upon Jesus, the rock, Jesus, the chief cornerstone, that He will set your life in the proper direction and bring it into proper alignment. Amen. He wants to do that with the church. His body is part of the body. He wants to do that for you. And we've seen that as a result of building our lives upon the Word and upon Jesus, that we'll be able to withstand the storms of life that come. Storms will come. You're not immune to them. Being a child of God, there's going to be things come against you. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that the wise person that listens to His words and builds their life upon that and gives heed to it and accepts it is kind of like the person that builds their house upon the rock, and when the storms came and the waves came, that it stood. And those people that refuse to build their life upon the Word, they're built upon that foundation of sand, stuff that shifts and moves, and it'll get washed away. And people wonder why that their lives are such a mess. We see lots of people that their lives are a mess. Amen. Those are people that have made a conscious choice to reject what Jesus says. Amen. You say, well, that's just too simple. Well, that's just the truth. It's not, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not rocket science. We've taken it, as Brother Doug Jones always said, we've taken the gospel message of Jesus, made it into a doctorate theology when it's a kindergarten principle. Amen? It's as simple as making Jesus the Lord of your life, trusting who He is, and allowing Him to guide and direct your life. Amen? Many of us in here can testify to the fact of where our lives were headed until Jesus intervened. Amen? Until He entered our life and we got our life into a line and allowed Him to align our life. Amen? Your car's out of alignment. It's going to wear things out. It's going to begin to shake. Amen? Eventually, it's going to be so bad you're just going to be driving into the ditch. And that's what a lot of people do. The longer you allow your life to remain out of alignment, the longer you refuse to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, the farther away from the truth you're going to get. The more out of alignment your life is going to get. Amen? We cannot reject the Word and refuse to submit to His authority. We have to bring our lives into alignment with what the Word says. It's black and white. There is no progressive gospel. I'm sorry. What Jesus said, He said, don't add to it and don't take away from it. Amen? It's just as progressive today as it's ever going to be. Amen? You either believe what it says or you reject it. It's up to you. It's your choice. Amen? 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. Says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Verse 10 says, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. He says this right after verse 8, where he says they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. And to this they were also appointed. But you're different. They may stumble and get offended, but not you. Why is that? Because you're following a different path than they are. You have submitted yourself to the word voluntarily. He's not going to make you submit to the word. Amen. It's your choice. God sees you differently. That was a great video. Amen. God sees you differently than what you see yourself. Amen. And we need to begin to see ourselves differently. The Phillips translation of 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are God's chosen generation, His royal priesthood, His holy nation, His peculiar people. All the old titles of God's people now belong to you. It is for you now to demonstrate the goodness of Him who has called you out of darkness into His amazing light. He says you are chosen. It's a word ultimately speaks of the grace of God. It's the ekklektos, or the elect. It means those selected or picked out, and in Scripture defines one who is the object of choice or divine favor. We looked at this back in chapter 1, verse 2, where Peter uses it. And the King James Version translates it as the elect. It's a scripture that's found in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, where Peter quotes basically this verse, this idea, this concept. Exodus 19, 5 and 6 says, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession. The King James Version says, a peculiar treasure among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. When we looked at chapter 1, we seen the difference between those who are called and those who are chosen. It's really quite simple. It's really the same thought that Peter's talking about here in these verses, in these preceding verses. The word called is the word kletos in the Greek. It means to invited by God in the proclamation of the gospel to obtain eternal salvation. We looked at Matthew 22, 14, where it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 20, 16 says, so the last shall be first and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. Revelation 17, 14 says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is the Lord of Lords, or Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and special. The call spoken of in these verses is the general call. It's the invitation by God to everyone to believe in who Jesus is. Amen? When you share Jesus with people, they're receiving the call. They hear the gospel message. Many people have heard the gospel message, but few have responded to it. That's what he's talking about. Many are called, but few are chosen. God doesn't play favorites. A lot of people think that that's the truth there, but it's just about your choice. Amen? Hebrews 4:2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." People can hear the gospel, people can hear the gospel, people can hear the gospel and never accept it. Amen. How many of us heard the gospel preached many times before we accepted it? Those who respond positively and accept and believe are the chosen. Amen. Peter says you're a chosen generation. D.L. Moody said it this way: "The elect are the whosoever wills, and the non-elect are the whosoever wants." Whosoever will. The Bible is full of conditions like that. If you, whosoever will, amen, you've got to make a choice. You can see from all these verses and from what Peter's talking about here, that there's a proper balance between human responsibility and divine sovereignty. We shared a lot of this in week one and week two. The called who reject the invitation do so willingly. Therefore, their exclusion from the kingdom of God is just. The chosen enter the kingdom only by invitation and only because of the grace of God and the mercy of God. But they accept it. Amen? Those who reject and ignore the message of Christ and the invitation from God to experience His grace are the ones that Peter talks about in verse 8 who stumble around and become offended. They say things like, how could a loving God condemn people to hell? The truth of the matter is that He extended the invitation. They rejected it. They made the choice themselves to go to hell. Plain and simple. He says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. The idea of the word royal here, it's only used one time in all the New Testament. It's the idea, it's fit for a king. You are a royal priesthood fit to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, I could never share my faith with people. I just don't know enough. I'm not qualified enough. Yeah, you are. The Word of God says you're qualified to accept the inheritance of the saints in light. You're qualified. Amen. Peter says you are a royal priesthood. You're fit and called to enter the Holy of Holies. You're fit to boldly approach the throne room of grace. You're fit to boldly proclaim the message of reconciliation to everyone you come across. Do not diminish your importance to the kingdom of God. Well, what could I do? What can I add to it? Everything. Don't duck your responsibility. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and a plan and a purpose for something for you to do. Amen. First of all, is to live out your life to be an example to people that there's something different about you, not in a weird way, Amen. He says you're a peculiar people in some places. We've got some peculiar Christians out there. You ever ran into any of them? Amen. Yes, every one of us have. We're not to be that way. We're to be different, but in a good way. Amen. We're to be different that draws people to Jesus, not make them run the other direction. He says all those things. You cannot continue to see yourself as unqualified, unfit, and useless. That's not how God sees you. Amen? Well, I could never do this. I could never do that. Don't say that. Amen? Praise the Lord. You're a royal priesthood. In the New Testament, look at Revelation chapter 1. Everybody doing okay this morning? Yep. Praise the Lord, it's not 95 degrees in here. It's not bad. I don't even have the fans up here on the stage on this morning. Praise the Lord. Revelation 1, 5 and 6 says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever." What tense is made? Past tense. It's not something that you're working to attain. When you enter the kingdom of God, guess what? You are a royal priesthood at that exact instant. Oh, I just don't know enough to share my faith. Yes, you do. Lie straight from the pits of hell. Just open your mouth, start to speak, tell what God's done in your life. Amen. Revelation 5:10 says, "You have made them," again, past tense, "to be a kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says back in 1 Peter chapter 2, "You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation." A holy is the word hagios. It means separated ones, sanctified ones. Whoever is set apart for a special purpose. New Testament believers are holy ones, both in character and conduct, having been set apart by God to be exclusively His, to be dedicated to Him, and to manifest holiness. Hebrews 10:10 says, "And in accordance with this will of God, we have been made holy, consecrated and sanctified through the offering made once for all of the body of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One." Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, "To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." You need to begin to see yourself as a holy nation, as part of the holy nation, that you've been set apart by God. Amen? Sanctified and set apart for His use. Kenneth Wiest, in his Word Studies, writes this: "The believer in the Lord Jesus is set apart for God by the Holy Spirit. Out of the first Adam, with the latter's sin and condemnation, into the last Adam, Christ, with the latter's righteousness and life." Hallelujah. Translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. sanctified and set apart for His use because of what Jesus has done for you. We sang about His blood this morning. Amen. The power of the blood. Hallelujah. He goes on, thus the worshiper of the God of the Bible partakes of the character of the God for whom he is set apart. This is positional sanctification. An act of God performed at the moment a sinner puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Maybe you don't see yourself as holy, but God does, because you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. The work of the Holy Spirit in the yielded saint. You have to yield. Amen. You have to make that choice that you could almost say aligned. Align your life with that chief cornerstone. He's going to put you in the right direction. He's going to make sure everything's square and everything's level and everything lines up. The work of the Holy Spirit in the yielded saint, in which he sets the believer apart for God in his experience by eliminating sin from his life and producing his fruit. A process which goes on constantly throughout the believer's life. That's called progressive sanctification. Amen? How many of you did some things before you got saved that after you got saved, the Holy Spirit was like, eh, you need to knock that off? Amen? Some of it we knew right away we needed to knock off. Amen? But there's other things, maybe just how you treat somebody. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you had a temper problem. Maybe, whatever the case may be. But through time, when it would happen, you would feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, you need to stop that. But Peter's talking about that you are a holy nation here. Amen, a royal priesthood. Chosen generation, a holy nation. You need to see yourself as these things. Praise the Lord. The word nation here refers to a multitude that are associated with one another. You're part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is that nation. Amen? That you've been set apart in. We're to be separate from the world. As someone once said, the body of Christ, the church, is of most value to God when it is least like the world in which it exists to be an ambassador of reconciliation. The church can't just become more and more like the world. It loses its flavor. Amen? It loses what its purpose is. Hallelujah. He goes on to say that you are a peculiar people or a priceless possession of here. For a people for God's own possession in the New American Standard. You were bought with a price. Amen. Jesus Christ purchased you. It means, the word in the Greek means that which is acquired by purchase, with the corresponding idea of preservation of that which is purchased. God just didn't buy you and purchase you with the blood of Jesus and just forget about you. He's going to preserve you. He's going to be there for you. He's going to be there with you until you either go home to be with the Lord or the trump of God sounds and we're all out of here. Amen? Let me ask you something. Peter describes God's people here. A chosen people, a royal people, a holy people, a peculiar people. Do you see yourself that way? Were you the one who was always picked last when it came to be choosing teams? Not anymore. Amen? Maybe you grew up poor and felt like you were and made to feel like a second-class citizen. Not anymore. Always felt like you didn't belong or was never part of anything. Not anymore. Because of His love for you, God the Father sent His Son to pay the price to set you free and set you apart for something greater than anything you've ever experienced in your life. Amen? Set you apart for His purpose and His plan, and He will protect you and preserve you because you are bought with a great price. And you have something to do in the kingdom of God. Amen? We all, as children of God, have something to do. And then He goes right on to tell us here in verse 10 what it is. Amen? That you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The New American Standard says, "You may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You are to proclaim. You are to share. Show forth His praises. Amen? To tell something that's not otherwise known is what that word means. To make widely known. To report widely. The excellencies of God. The word used here denotes the ultimate excellence. Amen? It talks about, in the classical Greek, they spoke of God given the ability to perform heroic deeds. You've been called to share about an awesome God. Amen? You haven't been saved just to live your life and just go through your life and go to heaven. It says you're a royal priesthood. Amen? Hallelujah. You are a chosen generation. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. All those things. That's who you are. He's not talking about somebody else. Amen? You need to personalize that. That you've been called out to proclaim His excellencies, to show forth His praises, to let people know about the goodness of God, to let people know how awesome God is. Amen? He's not just some God of the past that's just stories about Him, about the things that He's done in your life, the areas where He's changed you, the things He's brought you out of, maybe some of the chains that He's broken off of your life. Amen? I've had people, "Well, you know, I just don't have a testimony like that. I grew up in church. I was always..." Well, that's a testimony. Amen? Some of us didn't have that. We didn't know God from a young age. And that's a testimony that you knew Jesus when you were 10 years old and you're 50 or 60 or 70 and whatever age and you're still serving Jesus. That's a testimony. and that He's never let you down. Amen. The enemy always wants to discount, always wants to demean anything about your life. He always wants you to just feel insecure about those things. Don't let him. Wherever you're at, whatever station, wherever you came from, wherever God's brought you from, you have a story to share. You've got things to share of what God has done in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. He's called you out of darkness. The word called here means to speak to another in order to bring them near. Talking about that invitation. Amen. The same word we looked at earlier. They've been called. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's up to us to deliver the call to people. Deliver the message to people. Amen. Praise the Lord. In this present context, kaleo means to call into the kingdom of God, into the privileges and the duties and the bliss of the kingdom in this life and in the coming life. Both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul talked about this many times in the New Testament. The Word of God says in Galatians 1:6, you've been called by grace. Amen. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, it says, you've been called through the gospel that we may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:30, it says, you've been called to salvation. All the same word. That's Romans 8:30, called to salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, we've been called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 9:24 says, we've been called not from among Jews only, but also from among the Gentiles. Glory to God. Ephesians 4:1 says, we've been called to walk worthy. Here in 1 Peter 2:9 says, we've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, you've been called, you have a holy calling, having been called with that holy calling. 1 Peter 1:15, we've seen a few weeks ago, we've been called to be holy ourselves in all our behavior. 1 Peter 3:9, we'll see that you've been called to inherit a blessing. Glory to God. First Peter 5:10, been called to His eternal glory in Christ. Praise God. We've been called, amen? Called to do all these things. Called to what God has for us. He's invited us. Amen? He's invited us to be partakers of the kingdom of God and everything that goes with it. It's our choice whether we choose to do it or not. Amen? He's called us out of darkness, spiritual darkness. Amen? Darkness refers to the time when the readers were in unbelief, ignorant of God's provision of salvation, blinded to the truth in Jesus Christ, shrouded in darkness. How many of us have had our eyes open to things? You read the Word. You read the Word and you're studying the Word. And all of a sudden it's like, your eyes are opened to certain things. Maybe it's peace. Maybe you need peace. Maybe you're struggling with forgiveness. Whatever it may be, you can find it in the Word. Amen? And it'll change you. Praise the Lord. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. It's the same word that's used many times that we've talked about over the years, about in awe of who Jesus is. You can't hardly describe you, just out of your wits. Amen. Been called into the marvelous light. Praise the Lord. He says, for you, in verse 10, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Glory to God. Then he goes on once again. Peter talks a lot about our behavior in this epistle. We've already looked at it several times. He again emphasizes it again here in verse 11. Behold, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our lifestyle speaks volumes to people. Amen. Speaks volumes to people. We're not going to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But our lifestyle should be lining up with what the Word says. Amen. We need to get our flesh under control. We need to get our tongue under control. Amen. It's a work. It's not going to happen just like that. Amen. Your flesh may have been doing stuff for a long time before you got saved. It may take you a little while to keep that flesh under. It's going to rise up and say, I want to do that. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. I want that. Amen. You got to tell your flesh, no, shut up. You're not getting it. Praise the Lord. Why? Because you are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a chosen people. Amen? You're a chosen generation. You're a peculiar people that's called out. Amen? You're different. You can't live the way the world wants to live. If you try to live that way, you're going to be miserable. Because the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is going to be miserable. You're dragging Him into all that stuff. And He's going to tell you, don't do it. Don't do it. You need to stop this. Amen? Hallelujah. Father God, we thank You and we praise You, Father, that we have been called out. Lord, that You've given us a choice to make. A choice to serve You. A choice to bring our lives into alignment with Your Word. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us here today, each and every person listening to this podcast, Lord, that we would just allow the Word of God just to change us. To read the Word and as the Holy Spirit points things out to us, that we bring our lives in line with the Word. As Peter said, that we desire the sincere milk of the Word, that the Word becomes a desire for us, a hunger for us. that we know that it's what we need in our lives first and foremost. And I pray that each and every one of us here have a hunger for the Word like we've never had before. That we recognize and know the importance of being in the Word. That you have a plan and a purpose for us to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone that we meet. Share it in our words, share it in our actions, share it in our lifestyle. Lord, we thank you for these things. We praise you for these things. And we just glorify you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.